Gidich, agus Fáilteadh Rod ag Podchéilleadh Bite Size Irish. Hello and welcome to the Bite Size Irish podcast, is Mission Neil O'Shiel. Today I'd like to share with you a member interview, Agalub Will, that I did with a true-born New Yorker, Cathy Gallagher, a few weeks ago. It's a classic Irish diaspora story, and it's lovely to see that Cathy has come full circle regarding her heritage by now learning Irish. One thing we mentioned during the chat is the Ashtar Reference Pack, our collection of courses on tricky topics explained simply and clearly. And we have just released the latest course, The Verb in Irish, which presents all the tenses and everything else you need to know about Irish verbs in a bite-size and easy-to-digest format. This course is for members only, however, so if you're not already a member, just go to offer.irish to get a 10% discount off monthly or annual membership. It's no long-term commitment, just pop over to offer.irish to check it out for yourself. So let's hear from Cathy now, as she introduces herself as Gaelic.
Jaiv, it's Misha Cathy. Tame Mahoney in South Hold, Nua Erach. Nocha Mila said de Heher Nua Erach. Tame Ascord Anish, Agus Dovriga me Le Korash Riverhead in Ospedale. Tame Makhoni Le Merkela, Agus Neil Peter Agen. Ta Bert Vak, Bert van Kila Feneca, Agus Kuwagerd Gofasti Agen. Ismaliam ve Agshul Kakla. Beam Agshenem Fiano, Agus Agfolum na Gilga Gakla Freshen. Ta an piano, Agus an Helga Dulanach.
My who? So, for all the viewers, could you just tell us what you said there then in English?
Sure, at least what I think I said. Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Cathy. I live in South Hold, New York, which is 90 miles east of New York City. I'm retired now, and I worked with computer systems in hospitals. I live with my husband, and we don't have any pets. We have two sons, two daughters-in-law, and five grandchildren. I like to walk every day. I also play the piano and study Irish every day. The piano and Irish are challenging.
That's yes. Moihu, I love how you make that comparison, actually, because I play a little music myself, and there was a moment a few years ago when I was taking piano lessons and I was also trying to learn another language. I was learning Korean. So maybe like you, learning a language, learning piano. And in a way, I thought there were some similarities because, like we say here, Gaelic a gachla, doing a little bit every day was always better than leaving a big gap and doing a lot then. And so... yeah, fantastic to hear that. You're a New Yorker then, Cathy. Can you tell us about your background yourself?
Sure. I was born in Brooklyn and here in New York. If you ask somebody where they were born, you've got about a 50% chance of them telling you they were born in Brooklyn. I grew up in an Irish family. All of my ancestors came from Ireland, ultimately. And although they were my great grandparents, so we didn't have any real contact with anybody who had been in Ireland. But I grew up there and went to school there. And then I went upstate New York to a college and had a liberal arts major. And then I went and got a master's degree in technology because it was the beginning of the computer era. And that's where I spent the rest of my career, and ended up, as I said before, working in hospitals with their computer systems. And right now, I'm a retired grandma. I'm going in to babysit for my grandkids tomorrow for 3 days. So
you're still working?
Yeah, still working.
But anyway, you deserve the break after all that work too. It's so interesting to hear from a real New Yorker who's got the Irish heritage too, because it's such a big part of the story, isn't it? Or it seems to be from our point of view in the movies and everything, and you know, the Ellis Island. And at one point, I believe in Manhattan, Irish was one of the most common languages you would hear in the mid-19th yes. century, I think, because there were so many of us going over there for one reason or another. So it's great to hear from a New Yorker. Was it you said an Irish family, was it an Irish community? Were there a lot of people with Irish heritage in the neighborhood? Or
yes, there were, I would say, and the neighborhood was pretty much Irish and Italian, but it was probably more like 70% Irish and 30% Italian, because they were newcomers, kind of. My grandfather built the house that my sister and brother still live in 1923. And so he was born in this country, but his parents came from Ireland. And he built it as a two-family house, bottom and a top, because his sister and husband were going to live on the upstairs. And he was going to, so it was that kind of family sharing unit. When I was growing up, we lived on the upstairs, and my mother's sister and family lived on the downstairs. So, we celebrated St. Patrick's Day, and everybody came over, and it was pretty Irish.
That's what I was going to come to. Is like, was the sense of an identity strong for you growing up? That, you know,
yes, did it with very
Patrick's
sure.
Day, music, yeah. A few different yep. things. Which kind yep. of aspects of the culture did you have?
I think partly music. Not that we didn't know any Irish, you know, everything was English, yeah. But the songs and my parents, there were six of us siblings, so they didn't have a lot of time for music, but they would tell stories about how, you know, when they were growing up, their parents and people would come over and play instruments and nicely enough, my son has been playing the trumpet his whole life. So some of that has come down. But yes, it was clear that we knew we were Irish. There was no question about it.
Yeah, wonderful. So as you say, and it is understandable, the language itself possibly didn't feature so much, but when did you become aware of the Irish language then? Did you know there was such a thing, or...?
I guess I always knew there was such a thing, but it really didn't percolate until kind of last year, last 18 months, when I decided that I wanted to learn it. I kind of know French and Spanish, and so I thought, well, let me try something that I don't know anything at all. And I thought, wait a minute, why don't I do Irish? Yeah. And so I started with Rosetta Stone, but I couldn't get very far, because I couldn't get past the spelling changes. Like the word woman sometimes was B-E-A-N, and sometimes it was M-B-E-A-N, and sometimes it was B-H-E-A-N, and I couldn't figure out why. Mm-hmm. And when I would ask questions on the internet, I found that I was getting a lot of answers from bitesize.com. And so I thought, well, let me look at this and see what it is. And then I found the answers to all my questions. Not that I still understand them or get them right all the time, but at least I know I have a place where I can go and look them up.
I mean, it's true that there were some challenges, because not everyone, but most people who are learning Irish come from an English language background. And there are definitely some challenges, things which are a bit different. So you mentioned the word ban could sometimes be written with an M and become man, or it could be written with a V and become van. The first letter of the word can change, not just the end of a word.
Right.
First letter, which is very odd. I think it only happens in Celtic languages. So it does happen in Welsh as well.
It does, and it happens, yeah. And then it's hard to look up in the dictionary, because you don't have the beginning letter.
You need a strategy. You need to know what's going on a little bit. So
yeah,
it's such a different thing, these initial mutations, mostly what we talk about Shevu and Urdu. It's such a different concept that it's a bit of a challenge, all right.
But it's good. It's like a puzzle, so it's fun. It's also fun. It's like,
and you like languages, I think. Anyway, you mentioned yes. French and Spanish. You speak,
right?
Yeah. I can understand that feeling too. I like languages, and you know, it is like a puzzle. It's great when you feel like you've cracked it and you've decoded. Mm-hmm. It is coding, I suppose, in a way. You've decoded this sentence, and now you understand it. Yeah, very good. So it's just a couple of years ago, really, that you came into contact with the language on Rosetta Stone, and then you heard about Bite Size Irish.
I think I've been on Bite Size for about 6 months, and I was on Rosetta Stone for about 6 months, maybe 10 months before that. So, yeah, not too long. So I'm happy. It's fun. And I, Bite Size, I like all the different people on it, Emma and Ben, and I've been going to Ben's monthly dialogues, which are enjoyable. They're fun, and there's no pressure. You know, you can speak if you want to, and you don't have to if you don't want to. And
right, these are, if anyone doesn't know, these are our BO sessions, where we have a script and a scripted conversation. So in the BO session live together, you practice reading the script. So you find that useful?
I do, yes. And I've, you know, then you meet other people who are doing it also. And oh, the other cool thing is from the Felta Ishtak page, when you join on and welcome, I found, well, we found each other, someone who lives 10 miles from me. So now we're meeting every week when we can.
Wonderful. Yeah.
And have coffee and try our Irish as best we can. And so that's really neat.
So this is a bite-sized pubble, our online community, where we, you know, we've got daily challenges and people can ask questions and practice their Irish. But the word pubble means community, nice and simple. And, you know, people do find that they get to know each other a little bit. And the fact that you met somebody, did you say 10 miles away?
Yes. And I live in a pretty small town, and she lives in a town as small as mine, 10 miles away. So
that's amazing. Well, yeah. I suppose close to New York, there's got to be a few Irish people. There's got to be a few
people
with Irish culture and language. But there we go. That's the very essence of community. A language is for speaking with people. You know, it's interesting to study on its own, but it always kind of sings when you can have a conversation and a chat with people. So I'd like to ask you about your Irish learning journey. I know it's only in the last couple of months, but where would you say you were with your Irish by the time you were coming to Bite Size? Was it a cup of fuckle that you had, just a couple of words, or were you?
I had words because I had gotten a bit into Rosetta Stone. I had some words, and I had, I think, finally mastered the fact that ta was is and comes at the beginning of the sentence. But I couldn't get past the, I felt like I was spending so much time trying to figure out why they were doing things, and maybe other people wouldn't do that. I needed to understand the structure of the language, and I couldn't do that. So when I got onto Bite Size, one of the first things I've done, I've used the reference pack a lot.
Oh, great.
And yeah, because the answers are there. I don't understand it all yet, but I know, for instance, if somebody says to me the plural genitive, I know I can go there and look it up and find out what that is. And I can find the numbers there, and I can find what the nouns and the cases, and I don't know them, but I know where I can go and look them up. So I've liked that a lot.
So they're available. You can check things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
the reference pack, the Ashta reference pack that Kathy's just mentioned is it's just that it's a reference, a learning resource. We're trying to add more to it all the time, but we have modules in there about the dialects of Irish, about numbers, as you mentioned, and about the noun, the different forms of the noun. And the next one that will be coming to that will be about the verb, actually, which is going to be another big one.
Yeah.
But the idea is we hope it's simple, clear information. Mm-hmm. And if you need to go back time and again, then that's the easiest place to find that info. That's the idea for the reference pack. It might be a little bit drier than some of our other lessons, but it's just like pure info. That's mm-hmm. the purpose of it, I think. So glad to hear that you've been using that and that you find it useful, because that's entirely the intention behind it. Yeah,
good. That's good. Also, one other thing, if you don't mind. Sure. I've started doing the weekly sentence, answering Emma's questions. When mm-hmm. I first started Irish, I thought, oh, I can do this without writing. But I found out that I couldn't. The writing brings everything together.
Yeah.
And makes you kind of put a sentence together, which is not all that easy. So I have to look a lot of things up to make that work. And then Emma, of course, makes whatever corrections to the mistakes that I make on it. And I look forward to every Monday. Today's Monday. After this, I can go and see what the question for this week is and do that. And that's been very helpful, I think.
Mm. So that's on Pubble as well. Our community manager, Emma, sets challenges. There are daily challenges and there are weekly challenges. And the importance of writing. Yeah, I think I know I've been guilty of it in the past too. It's kind of easy to look at the book and think, yeah, I understand that.
I know that.
I get it, yeah. But then when you go to do it, that's when you draw a blank and you're frozen there, you know. But happens to everybody. So one way that you can bridge that gap between getting it, understanding it, and then actually being able to do it is with practice. And writing practice is great because it means you've got to put the pieces in place yourself. Mm-hmm. And you'll be thinking a bit about the vocab you use or the grammar you need to use. And the nice thing about writing compared to speaking is that the person is not sitting waiting for you to respond, you know? You've got a bit of time to think about it. You can go and check the reference pack or the dictionary, and you can figure it out for yourself in your own time, really. So that kind of practice, yeah. I remember from school, I think every day our homework in Irish class at school was just to write 10 sentences using 10 different words that we had. So we had to come up with something. And it wasn't very structured, just 10 sentences every night. And that it was actually very simple, but easy for the teacher to come up with that, but really effective because I was using them every day. And I suppose with listening and reading, we can call those receptive skills. It's a bit more passive. You're sitting there as the language comes to you. Speaking and writing are more productive skills. You've got to be creative a little bit. You've got to do it. So it's probably engaging a different part of your brain, I would say, if I knew anything about that. That's good. So you found the writing prompts and the mm-hmm. questions very useful.
Yeah,
that's great to hear. That's great to hear. So when you first came to Bite Size, would you say that you were able to introduce yourself in Irish? Maybe not like you just did, but in a basic way, could you say?
No, I don't think so. It wasn't that personal. It was more like I could say, the boy is running. I am eating an apple. I could say, the extent of what I could do. But.
Yeah, I see. I mean, you mentioned one particular application, but there's another famous one people use, and it's they give you set phrases and words. So they don't necessarily lead us towards self-expression, you know?
Right.
And or conversation and things like that. And So how long have you been with Bite Size Irish now?
I think about 6 months.
About 6 months. And you've been involved with the community, Pubble. You've been using the reference pack and you've been at the BO sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So between all of these things, how do you feel about your Irish now? Do you feel that you've learned a lot? Do you feel a bit more confident?
I feel much better. And I feel like I'm moving along and I'm going to mm-hmm. continue to get better.
Yeah, great.
One of my earlier dialogues with Ben, Kevin was on it too. And he said to me, don't think about what you don't know. He said, think about where you were a month ago. And I've been kept that in my head and it's true. Like I'm much better now than I was a month ago and certainly a month before that. So I'm excited. It's kept me excited and this is good. Like when I have to say things out loud in Irish, that's a real advance for me.
Cause we have to do it. Yeah. And I did mention confidence, it's true as well. Nobody's overconfident with languages, it's never, usually people are underselling themselves more than anything else. And sometimes people don't give themselves credit for all the work they've done and the advances they've made. Sometimes we do think a bit too much about what we don't know, but, it's important to, we know that it's a long process. It's not, inside 1 week, of course. Gaelic Gachba, do a wee bit every day for, a long while, and things gradually get easier and easier, and you find yourself able to express yourself more and maybe with more with in different styles too. But the first stages are all about communication for sure. Can you communicate in a simple, direct way? So what would you say? It's clear that you've been using different aspects of Bite Size Irish. But what have you enjoyed the most about learning Irish with Bite Size?
I think kind of what you just mentioned about it's conversational on Bite Size. Mm-hmm. And when you go through the Tustmar lessons, they have dialogues in there. And mm-hmm. that's the way that you can learn how to speak. Like the first one we did, it seems very easy now, tamegoma, that's like, but when I started, I didn't know any of that. And then there's other dialogues on where do you live and, what kind of house you're in. And so that those expressions help you to have a conversation with somebody.
Wonderful. Yeah. And again, for anyone who doesn't know, Tusmai or Tusma is our beginners Irish course on Ashter on our online platform. There's different ways you can use the bite-sized Irish material, but you could just start with Tusma and you'll get vocabulary and grammar lessons, but then it's put together in these conversation lessons where two or three people are talking and you can listen to them slowly or more quickly and so on. So putting it all together is a really important step. And we have recently been updating our Tusmai dialogues so that we've got more different voices in there too. So, a little bit different, as I said, to the reference pack that we referenced earlier. The reference pack has simple, clear information, but in Tusmai, it's more kind of how it would naturally grow within you and how you want to express yourself, like who you are, then where you're from, then talking about your family, these topics rather than a grammar topic. So, I'm glad to hear that. And you mentioned before to me that you've been to Ireland before. Would you be thinking of another trip sometime? Like, would you like to come here and use your Irish maybe?
I would. This friend that I told you we met, she's going to go in May and go to an immersion I'm not sure where that is, but I don't know that I'm ready for that yet. But I would like to go back and, as I said, my ancestors all came from Ireland, and I'd like to visit at least those areas that I know that they came from. So mm-hmm. I think I'd like to do that first. And I'm not sure, Neil, how many people actually speak Irish in Ireland anymore. Do you?
It's a tricky question to answer, because you could walk around and not hear any Irish, because people default to English. So if they don't know you, they might just assume I'll just use English. That's what I would do in my daily life. I don't lead with Irish. Maybe I should try that more often, to be honest. But
there's enough that you
have a safe space. If you're in a location where you know, like there's a couple of bars and places like that in Dublin where there's a lot of Irish speakers and the staff speak Irish. So if I'm there, I'll definitely use my Irish. But also, if you're in the Gaeltacht areas, if you're in the west of Ireland or some other areas which are strong in that area of culture, it's easier to just use it. So I think there's a lot of, especially in Dublin where I live these days, there's a lot of hidden Irish speakers. There's a lot of Irish speakers in Dublin, but you wouldn't know from looking at them. So there's more of us here than is obvious. So there are opportunities. But you mentioned that a friend of yours is coming to Ireland to take a course. And I think that is a fantastic idea. There are different colleges in Donegal and Galway and Kerry and Waterford who offer courses to adults. And they usually have, now being an Ulsterman, I'm more familiar with the most famous one up in Donegal, but they usually have courses of every level. And of course, anywhere offering Irish lessons is always going to accommodate beginners and people who are maybe just beyond beginners and so on, because that's the biggest cohort, really. That's the biggest cohort.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes for high level learners, it can be tricky to find a class, but not for beginners. You know, there's always lots for beginners and for beyond beginners.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. So it's a great way to do it because, you know, Gaeilge Gachla, well, if you're in the Gaeltacht in a Kalashta and you're doing courses, it's not just Gaeilge Gachla, it's Gaeilge Gach Uair every hour of the day in your classes. But then on breaks or having lunch, or they usually have other activities in the evening, you're practicing it, just saying hello to people. And, you know, there are lots of opportunities, and that's a big blast, really. Often when people come back from a course like that, they feel like they should be speaking Irish to the, you know, to the taxi driver in Dublin. So it really gets in, I think, when you can spend a long time with it. So for you and for anyone else watching, if it's doable at all, if it's possible for you, I'd strongly recommend it. You know, if you don't live in Ireland, it's a big trip to get here. But it's a great thing to do. And the other nice thing is that these Gael Kalashti, they're always in the most beautiful places in the West Coast. So it's not an industrial estate you'll be in. It's some of the most beautiful scenery in Europe. So there's all of that too.
Sounds great.
Yeah. So, Cathy, gramíle míle mahigat as a veilin ar lilin an agalib shop. Thank you so much for joining us for this agalib will. And if anybody is intrigued by all of these things that Cathy's been talking about, of course, you can find out about our membership by looking at one of our links, bite-size Irish, signup.irish or bitesize.irish. There's lots of links we have. And find out about membership. We have different levels of membership, and you can avail of all those services that Cathy mentioned. So online self-study classes, live sessions, video calls, and the online community where you can interact every day. So, gura míle maith agat, a Cathy, agus slán gatine.
Slán felte.
It was so nice to meet Cathy, and I've got to say, I love her accent, the classic straight talking New Yorker. One thing that was lovely to hear as well was that when she was just starting out, she had a lot of questions about the Irish language, and it was on Bite Size Irish that she found the answers to all her questions. That's what she said, she found the answers to all her questions. So what a great endorsement for us. And really, that's what we strive to do. And that's why, as we said earlier, we just put out a new course called The Verb in Irish in the Astra Reference Pack to answer all your questions on the topic of the verb. The Reference Pack and all our other resources will give you the tools you need to get to grips with Irish. So if you're not a member already, go to offer.irish to check out discounted membership. You won't regret it. That's all for today. I'll be back in a fortnight's time with some special Beltane related content. Slán leat!